Welcome to the X-Cast X-Files Podwatch, episode 81. Today, we're going to be talking about season 7 episodes, Hollywood AD and Fight Club. I'm your host, Sarah Blair, and I've got the always lovely Clara Cook with me today. Hi, Clara. How are you?
I'm good, Sarah. How are you doing?
Doing great. I'm really excited to talk about Hollywood AD. Should we jump in and get started?
Yeah, let's get with those like dancing skeletons and vegetarian zombies.
Let's do this. All right. This episode originally aired on April 30th in the year 2000. In the year 2000. It was written and directed by David Duchovny himself, and I think it had quite a few guest stars that we should mention. There was Taya Leone, Gary Shandling, Wayne Fetterman, Daniel Duchovny, David Duchovny's brother, Chris Carter made an appearance, and Minnie Driver was in there too. Lots of people. So how do you think that, like, David Duchovny, I mean, he's basically, like, when he directs or whatever, he's like, yes, please, let's put everybody I know in the episode, right? Like, basically. And I know on the show previously, he had quite a few of his girlfriends. Like, whenever he was dating anybody, he was like, yeah, put her in the show. He's kind of, like, keeping it in the family, right?
Well, he does that with Tia Leone, doesn't he? Because she's his wife at this point, isn't she? So
yeah, I think they had just gotten married recently. I remember that because I cried very hard when I found out that news. It was a rough day for 16-year-old Sari or 15-year-old Sari, however old I was.
I actually have mixed feelings about this episode. I love lots of it, but there's actually lots of it that I feel a bit frustrated about.
So, okay, tell me. I'm excited. So I want to hear this.
Yeah, so the frustrated things I feel, like the bits I feel frustrated about are the fact that I think it has some really good plot sort of elements that aren't explored fully enough, which I assume is partly because of the fact that the episode can't be more than about an hour. But I like the idea of the Lazarus Bowl and that, you know, that the grooves, I mean, it's silly, but the grooves of Jesus speaking is like kind of embedded in the grooves
super
of the bowl.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
I feel like that gets lost in a lot of the Hollywood stuff. And I also like the idea of Mulder and Scully being in a movie and how the fact that they're massively misrepresented in a movie. But I feel that also gets lost in the mystery with the Lazarus Bowl. So it's like these two different plot elements. I feel like they don't work so well together.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I agree with you because I feel like all that stuff with Micah Hoffman and the Cardinal and all of that, Cardinal O'Fallon, like, I felt like that was not developed enough. And I wasn't honestly very clear on the whole story. But at the end, Mulder and Scully are talking, and Mulder seems really affected by this story of these two guys and their relationship and their dynamic and all this stuff, and he seemed to like get a whole lot out of it. And I was just wondering if maybe there was more to the script that had to be cut for time, or maybe the story that David Duchovny had developed inside his head, because I know that happens a lot as a writer. You have these characters and you get to know them really well, and then it doesn't quite come across on the page when you have to finally edit stuff and get it down to where you need it to be. So I was wondering about that.
That does seem quite likely. I would imagine that he probably wrote something. I mean, he's a really good writer, isn't he? So,
oh, yeah.
And he's a really good comedic writer. So I imagine that he probably wrote something that was much more extensive, like you say, and was probably told that he had to cut it down for time.
Right,
And so that's the story. That's the part of the story that took some editing.
Yeah, and yeah, like you said, with the editing and all of that, I think it seems like that they edited it to come for like the Hollywood stuff as opposed to the story stuff and the case. So, what about the dancing skeletons? That was kind of random, right? Like that.
Yeah, and I also
mean, it sort of Did it come out of nowhere, or is that just me?
No, it did come out of nowhere, and I'm also not sure that that's really what the Lazarus Bowl is supposed to do, right? So the Lazarus Bowl is supposed to raise people from the dead. Or actually, the words still imbue, like, Jesus' power to raise people from the dead. But, I mean, I'm not sure you can raise skeletons from the dead, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought, like, maybe people, you know, but...
Yeah. I mean, it was an interesting plot device to get the attention on the bowl.
Yeah, and a similar thing happens when Hoffman rises from the dead in the morgue, and when Scully goes to like touch him, and doesn't he say something like no 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 baby or whatever he says? I thought that was really strange. I was like, what? Like, and then Scully's sort of collapsing, and but it is a comedy episode, so she doesn't at no point is she like, Mulder, this is insane, you know, because she's supposed to be skeptical, but. It all just kind of blends in with everything else, yeah.
Scully and the morgue stories. I mean, really, poor girl. She's seen it all, hasn't she?
The morgue and her bathroom.
Yeah, right.
Anytime exactly. She takes a bath or dissects somebody, then you know she's in trouble.
Also, I really loved that they worked in the inside joke with David Duchovny and Gary Shandling.
Yeah,
from the Larry Sanders Show, because I don't know if you know, do you know the story about how he was on the show, and like the running joke on that on the Larry Sanders Show is that he had a big crush on Gary Shandling, and Gary Shandling thought that he was gay, and he's like, I don't know, but I have these feelings for you. So that was funny that they managed to work that into that little inside joke in.
Yeah, there are some.
And there's also the episode on the Larry Sanders Show with David Duchovny in a kilt, where you get to see everything.
there are some really lovely jokes in this episode. So, yeah. So aside from the frustrations, there's things I really love, like the zombie stand-in being a vegetarian and like freaking out.
Tofurkey.
When he eats like turkey, like he's like biting into someone's shoulder and it's turkey. Or Mulder hypothesizing about why zombies eat people, because they're so hungry when they first wake up. And the idea that once they've eaten someone, then they'll just be like, hey, let's dance, let's make love, you know.
Right, like, zombie love.
Yeah, let's paint a picture. Let's like Scully teaching Tia Leone how to run in heels. I just think that's really hilarious. And then Tia Leone getting bored and wandering away, and Scully's still right. Running back and forth in heels.
Yes. And if you notice really closely, Tia Leone's looking at her phone the whole time. She's not even paying attention. That's great. Yeah, good times.
Skinner getting really like being really dramatic because he knows that Richard Gere is going to be playing him.
Yes, I'm really glad you brought up Mitch Pileggi first. So let's talk about Skinner in this episode, because it's one of my favorite Skinner episodes. And like you said, he gets overly dramatic. And he just like really plays it up for Wayne Fetterman. And I love that he plays himself. Like he's not, well, he's playing... Wayne Fetterman is playing a producer named Wayne Fetterman, which is hilarious to me. So he's not technically playing himself. He's technically playing this character who's producer slash writer slash producer slash whatever. I love how they keep saying slash in the whole show. That's a running joke. And but yeah, I love at the end when they're in the bubble bath, those expressions that Skinner has on his face are hilarious. They crack me up every single time. He's just like rolling his eyes, like how dumb Mulder is and how he's totally gone Hollywood, like Scully says. It's hilarious. And yeah, that bubble bath scene is probably one of my very favorite moments of the whole show. Not my top favorite, but definitely like top three probably.
I like the idea like that Skinner is got this other sort of you know, he's got a college friend, you know, like the idea that he might have been cool in college, you know?
Exactly. Like, he's skin man.
Because he's, sadly, after a while, like, you know, he gets overlooked for promotion at the FBI, and we all know why that is. But you sort of get the feeling that he's sort of starting to be lumped with Mulder and Scully, so he's starting to become, like, a sort of unpopular person at the FBI.
Right.
Like, a bit of a dweeb.
He lost his seat at the cool table, didn't
yeah.
he? Poor Skinner.
Yeah.
That's sad stuff.
But you're like,
yeah.
hey, you know, when he was in college, he was cool, you know? Like,
yeah,
everyone exactly. loves Skin Man, you know? Like.
And I love that he doesn't care that Wayne Fetterman calls him Skin Man, because he, like, gives him that nod. But then then Mulder tries it, and he's like, don't call me that. So it's kind of, like, it kind of makes me wonder if he just kind of puts up with Wayne Fetterman, or if he just, you know, like, I want to know Skinner's college life.
Yeah.
Like all Skinner episodes, this makes me wonder... I would just want more Skinner.
I just think maybe he did amateur dramatics, you know, in college.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe he wanted to be an actor.
Yeah.
Oh. There's a fanfic right there.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right. We got to give our shout out to Chuck Burks.
Yeah.
Played Chuck. By Bill Dow. We love Chuck.
And how excited Chuck is, you know, like, about everything. He's just... he's like so excited about the bowl and the sounds coming off the bowl, and you know,
right,
just really,
yeah. I didn't realize how many episodes he was in. He was in 8 episodes total, but 2 of them he was in the Jersey Devil, and then he was in War of the Corfages too. Bill Dow was. So I didn't realize, I mean, I knew he was in a bunch of episodes. I didn't realize he was in that many, though.
He's in Biogenesis as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
So isn't he sort of like examining the artifact that...
Yeah, he's in the Calasari is where he first comes up as Chuck Burks. And then he's in Leonard Betts, Biogenesis, Rush, Hollywood AD, and then Bad Law in the 8th season. So, yeah. Like, he was in more episodes than I realized, but I just love Chuck Burks. And that scene where he gets the Lazarus Bowl out, I remember whenever I first watched this episode on when it aired, and the Beatles reference was hilarious. I'm a bearded cow, sea cow. What is it he says?
I'm a bearded sea
and
cow.
And then cuckoo, ca-choo. There's no word for walrus in Aramaic. That cracked me up. But then I got chills whenever he was like, it's somebody calling someone from the dead. And it's like, whoa, that is cool. Like, I mean, if that was real, can you imagine how cool that would be?
Yeah.
So...
But I also think it's an interesting episode because it's despite the fact that it's like really comedic and everything, I think David Duchovny, well, I'm just guessing here, but I think David Duchovny is actually trying to make a wider point as well about like how stories are fictionalized, you know, and sort of marketed, because that's basically what the film is. The film is, you know, the cigarette smoking pontiff, you know. I love that idea, the cigarette smoking pontiff, you know, and you know, the cheap Lazarus bowls they're producing at the premiere to put popcorn in, like the plastic Lazarus bowls. It's like he's making, so I think the episode is overcrowded. He's making a comment on the church, on counterculture, on celebrity, but he's also like making a point about how real stories about real people get changed and twisted and then marketed to being something that they're completely not. And I think that's one of the things that Mulder's really upset about, is the idea that, because he's very much about the truth, isn't he? So at the end of it, he's upset because he thinks that, you know, this particular case, and also Mulder and himself and Scully, are going to be twisted and turned into something that they're not. And then that's the thing that's going to survive. The movie is what's going to survive, not, you know, their work and the truth. You know, so it's people going to be watching the movie, and that's what they're going to think, you know, that
absolutely
what the FBI is like and what it's about.
Yeah, yeah. And I totally understand that point of view too, because that's kind of a point that I brought up when I wrote my book. Is King Arthur in my book, he keeps saying, like, these legends are not who I actually am. Like, everybody has elaborated on this for centuries, and nobody can live up to these crazy stories of things. Like, so I kind of like put in, I try to weave in, you know, the real stuff of what actually happened to King Arthur, which was really fun because I get to make it up because these stories really are so crazy. And
Lady
yeah,
in the Lake.
So, right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that's been a lot of fun. And that's definitely an aspect of this episode that I can identify with, and David Duchovny's frustration with the Hollywoodization of different things. Fight Club. This aired on May 7th, 2000. It was written by Chris Carter and directed by Paul Shapiro, which was his only episode that he directed of the series. And I know this is a polarizing episode, but I am here to fight for Fight Club. Do you see how I did that? That was brilliant. Right?
That was a good pun.
All right. What was Mulder's pun in Hollywood AD? He said, if you make another pun, I'm going to go get my gun.
Yeah.
It made me think of Tony and his puns. Oh, anyways. Okay. All right. This episode starred Kathy Griffin as Lulu and Betty and Randall Cobb as Bert Zapanek. And then there was a very special guest star in this. Did you notice at the beginning? Arlene Pileggi was in it.
Yeah, so
playing
Scully.
Playing Scully.
She did a good
job. Which I thought was really hilarious. Because she started off as her stand-in on the show. And then she was Skinner's secretary. And then they fell in love and got married in real life. And it's the best love story ever. And it just makes me so happy to think about that. So they're still married, and it's great. So, anyways,
I'm just a romantic.
Just
to make sure that everyone knows, most Hollywood marriages don't last, but theirs has.
Yeah. So, and then Steve Kisiak played David Duchovny along with Arlene, and then he was also in Hollywood AD the previous episode, so that was an interesting fact I found. So okay, let's talk about Fight Club. Overall, are you a lover or a hater on this episode, or middle of the road?
I'm a hater.
Okay, tell me why. It's, I want to talk about this
awful episode. The only good thing about this episode is some of the dialogue between Mulder and Scully. It is one of the worst episodes. I mean, I actually think I hate it more than Testos Bichos. I mean, I hate
that it. Is harsh.
I know. I hate it more than like you know, high you know, archaeologists and killer cats. Yeah, it's just
stuffed killer cats.
It's just the same scene over and over again, or a variation of the same scene. And Monday did this episode Monday, but in much more clever way. The script is awful. The acting is awful. The music is awful. Almost all the characters are unsympathetic. The way the dialogue is delivered is not believable. But I mean, just none of the twists in the episodes or in the scenes in the episode are even believable. Mulder being sucked into a manhole. Like, what? No. The big thing that really drives me crazy is Betty and Lulu photocopying money. You can't forge money just by photocopying it. If you could, people would be forging money all the time.
Like, I mean,
photocopied money isn't forgery.
In defense of Lulu and or Betty, I'm going to say they're not the brightest crayons in the box. So there's that. And then I think, because I thought about that, I was like, what? Even, I think she was just trying to pass it off as like a bag of cash that she could just hand to this guy and get him through that fight and be done, you know? Like, they're not geniuses that we're working with here, so I'm with,
that's definitely
like,
true.
Yeah. And
the fact that he,
I mean, I feel like the money thing was the whole point of why they were working in a copy shop to begin with. like we gotta have them, you know, in this, get an employment somewhere. I mean, they could have been working literally anywhere out of like the millions of places that they had worked previously. It could have been a yogurt shop or whatever, but they needed that element, so it had to be a copy shop.
The fact that like Bert's a panic, like, doesn't even sort of, half the time he doesn't realize that Betty and Lulu are the same, are like different people. The fact that he, I mean, like, literally she's in his bed one moment, and then the other one's in his bed the next moment, and he's like, oh god, like, what's going on? And, you know, and how they keep, there's one scene in a bar where they're both in the bar at different times, and it just seems to go on forever. You know, they're in the bar, and then she's in the bar, and then the other one's in the bar, and it seems to be just a repeat of the same scene over and over again. It just gets less and less funny as it goes on, and I was in pain watching it. I was like, when will this end?
So we definitely agree Chris Carter totally phoned this script in, because, I mean, it comes at the end of the season. It's the third to last episode of the season. And he was probably like, we got to do something. Let's just hack this out and get through it. And, you know, we've got, I feel like Kathy Griffin really kind of carries the show. I know a lot of people are not really into her type of comedy, but I appreciate her life on the D-list stance, because I know how hard it is to hack it, like, as a writer on the D-list. I'm, like, a writer on the D-list. So, or, like, probably more like...
You're on my A-list. You're on my A-list, Sarah.
I'm more, like, on the X-list, basically.
It's where all the cool kids are, man. It's where all the cool kids
are. Exactly. I'll get there eventually, but yeah. So, I get Kathy Griffin's life, totally. Just, like, trying to hack it and trying to make it for yourself and work hard and, you know. So, I really appreciate her in this episode. And I just totally thought of something. So, when she finds the hair clip in the bed... Is she Betty or Lulu? Because I got them mixed up totally. But if it's Betty Boop on the clip, shouldn't she be Betty? But why would they have the same Betty Boop clip? Like, that doesn't make sense. There's so much about this that doesn't make sense. Why was Mulder in the sewer all day and all night? It's like nighttime when he comes out. What was he doing in that sewer all day? And why did they not discuss this?
And how, like, does someone get sucked to him into down a... There? Also, like, some of the research that Scully does in an internet cafe, you know, I'm like, guys, could she not just do a check on Betty and Lulu, like, at a police station or something? Or, like, you know, I mean, also, why doesn't she worry about where Mulder's gone? You know, she's like, yeah, whatever, he's probably gone for, like, a little bit of a walk or something. I'll do some research in the internet cafe. Like, the whole thing. And the ending gets me. The fact that they have beaten each other so badly that they need surgery. And it's like, that's never mentioned. They're not scarred by this psychologically or physically. And what's his name? The guy who organizes the fight. Is it Titus? I can't remember his name now.
Oh, Saperstein? Oh, yeah.
Okay, sorry, I thought it was Titus for some reason. But... like, what's that about? That's a really weird part of the episode where he just suddenly, he's there and then he's like talking to Mulder and Mulder's like, yeah, this is my buddy. And I just, it's just like, they're all completely acting out of character. I don't think this is any of the actors' faults, you know? So I agree with you. I think Kathy Griffin is, you know, a decent actress. I don't think this is her fault. I don't even think it's the fault of the guy that plays Bert.
He's pretty good.
The scripts are not believable, and Kathy's been given this line again and again to say, which is like basically to shriek Bert repeatedly, you know, in different scenes, you know, that they never really actually talk that much. Like, there's not that much dialogue. They just kind of it's just the whole thing's hysterical.
Ridiculous,
yeah,
ridiculous episode, but I don't hate it.
So, I mean, this is like in my top five hated episodes. So, what would you class as worse than this in the X-Files?
Tessos dos Bichos, for sure. Babylon.
Oh my god, Babylon, yeah. Babylon's pretty bad.
I try to rate them as what would I rather watch. So when I put it up against, when I put Fight Club up against something like El Mundo Gira, I would much rather watch Fight Club than El Mundo Gira.
Yeah, I guess there's a difference because, between something that's bad and something that's boring.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's hilarious and stupid and dumb, but I'd still rather watch this than maybe something like mid first or second season. Like season seven on a whole, I think is underrated. I think there's some pretty good episodes in this. So as far as the whole season goes, this is not a standout episode. But as far as the whole series goes, I think it's a little bit better. It's better than anything in 8, honestly. I would rather watch this episode than any season 8 episode, to be quite frank. So, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, I haven't, like, I have to say.
Or season 9, too. Ugh. Yeah.
Oh, actually, I don't mind season 9. I think I have to say, although I didn't like this episode, I didn't fall asleep through it. Whereas when I watched Space in season 1, like, apart from Mulder getting really excited about the fact that he's, like, investigating a space program, you know, and he's like, you know, there's, he's in with NASA and stuff like that. Apart from Mulder's, like, glee and excitement, I have to say I've repeatedly fallen asleep while watching that episode. Yeah, you know, when you try and rewatch it, I end up falling asleep through it.
Yeah.
Whereas there's no way you can fall asleep through Fight Club.
Yeah. I mean, at least it's somewhat entertaining. I mean, I love the banter between Mulder and Scully, like you said. Like, all of their interactions together, and especially the part at the very beginning when they're going through the slides, and she's like, we've done this a million times, Mulder. Can you just please not do this to me? Just tell me. Like, I don't want to have to, like, fight for this right now. And she goes through and, you know, basically he's, like, picking out China patterns in his head.
Also when he says, I think the doppelganger is at the beginning. So the Mulder and Scully doppelgangers, I think that's really good. I think both of them are eerily similar to David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson. And the fact that they, you know, I mean, I guess it's David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson's voices, though, isn't it?
Right,
But their mannerisms and the way that they act, and I thought that was really clever. And I think, because you think it's Mulder and Scully to begin with until you realise it's not. But also, I like when Mulder's talking about them and the situation, like what happened afterwards. I like that he mentions, oh, they've been working together for 7 years, and no, they are not romantically involved. And I was like, aww.
That look on Gillian Anderson's face is perfection. I love that look. She's like, you can tell she's a total shipper, like, for them, you know. But this also happens after Millennium, so they're totally sleeping together at this point, I believe.
Yeah,
like that. I believe that in my heart, that they have been together for a while.
It's after all things, right? It's after all things, I think, as well. So, and that does kind of lead on to us about back to the episode Hollywood AD, because at the end of it, they're going to go off and have fun in LA with the Bureau credit card. And I like the idea that Skinner gave the credit card to Scully and was like, go off and have fun with Mulder. And it's nice because you get to see actual, like, Gillian Anderson's laugh, you know, and like, because Gillian Anderson's kind of, she seems like kind of a joyful, sweet person, and she's often sort of made to act more serious and dour to be Scully. So every once in a while, and they allow Scully to laugh or be silly.
Yeah, sort of in a recent interview, I saw her mention that she wants to have something funny to do. Like, she does all these serious, serious roles that are really intense. And she's like, I just want to do something funny. So, yeah.
So it's kind of, that's kind of nice. So, I mean, yeah, by this point, they're definitely a couple, really, aren't they? So.
Absolutely. And especially they walk away holding hands in Hollywood AD. Oh, my heart.
Which suggests David Duchovny is a shipper too. Mm-hmm. If he wrote it. So I think it's just Chris Carter and his platonic foot putting it down.
Yeah. He's just like, I think at some point he's just like denying it just because he needs to stick to his guns. You know, for no other reason than just because I say so. Oh dear. All right. Well, I think that's about it for us today, X-Files. Please come and find us on social media. We're on Twitter at @X_cast. And let us know your thoughts on our episodes over at our Facebook group, X-Files Basement, the X-Cast podcast fan group. Tomorrow, I will be back with Darren Mooney for Podwatch 82 to talk about Je Souhaite and the Season 7 finale Requiem. So, until then, trust no one.